WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Gail Kim. This is WWE Superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie. And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
In this moment in time right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my head.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you, dumb.
And this is going to be simply glorious!
They play my song on so many different dials. Cause I got more f***ing than a disciplined child. So when they see me, everybody barack, barack. Man, I'm like a young gun, fully black, barack.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And also, if you're listening to us over at RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or Gerwick.net, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. And, well, if you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBoot.com because they post great things every day. And you should totally go check them out because we love them and you'll love them too. I'm your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Hey, we're here. We're live coast-to-coast on the World Wide Web, streaming live on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. You can interact with us live at Gerwick. At Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com. You can tweet the show at WildTalkRadio, at RackRadioShow, or at Lindsay Ward. Come to our interactive chat room at those places I just mentioned and she just mentioned, because we'll interact with you and talk about things, because we got stuff to talk about tonight. It's a loaded show, because Lindsay decided she has stuff she wants to talk about.
I did. Something struck a chord with me on Monday night, and I want to discuss it. So we're actually going to have a discussion topic, because it's one of those rare weeks where we do not have a pay-per-view that we either have to preview or recap, thank goodness. And, well, I just felt like talking about it, and I have this amazing platform, so why not? Let's talk about it. But first, before we get to our secret discussion, which we'll tell you about here in a little bit, we have news. We're talking the Mae Young Classic because, yes, y'all, it dropped this week. We have to discuss. We do. We have to talk about this. So much fabulousness, we have to talk about it.
It's kind of a thing.
It's kind of a thing. It's kind of epic. If you haven't watched it yet, go watch the Mae Young Classic. It's brilliant. But we'll get to that here in a second. And we've got all your favorites to the week, NXT SmackDown. And yeah, so I say we don't waste any more time and go right into the news. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Alrighty, so we're going to jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at Gerwick.net. And we've got a couple big stories we're going to talk about. I'm going to save those for a little bit further down just because we may get into it a little bit. So just for our first couple tidbits real quick, The Rock announced that he's putting together the playlist. I almost said play kit. That's not right. For WWE 2K18. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, he is going to curate the soundtrack for WWE 2K18. The track listing is available at www.2k.com to see the full listing. So yeah, every year they like to have athletes do the playlist, or athletes or celebrities. In this case, it's The Rock, who is in. Athlete slash celebrity, and yeah, it's sort of a thing, so it was cool. He's picked out some songs that'll be part of the soundtrack for WWE 2K18, which is shaping up to be a really loaded roster. Keeps dropping names after name after name, and there's one more week of names coming out next week, so once it's all out, we may do a thing talking about the game and everything that's surrounding it here in the coming weeks, because we have a lot of content.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like we need to talk about 2K18, and it can't be contained on this show, so we'll probably end up doing a rack extra for y'all about the video game specifically, because there's a lot to get into just in terms of the roster, in terms of the new engine, all kinds of brand new, shiny, sparkly, pretty stuff that's just, well, it needs its own show. So we're going to give it to you, I think.
Yeah, we will at some point. We have a lot, if you like the rack extra. And who doesn't? You're going to get a bunch of them this month.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Total Divas, Total Bellas, they're also coming back. Just so y'all know.
And she's going to a little thing this weekend. So, yes.
Dragon Con, which we'll talk about here in a second. Also, John Cena scored yet another movie role. He's going to be doing an animated feature with the one and only Kat Dennings.
Yeah, it's going to be for the YouTube Red platform. It's going to be an animated series with John Cena and Kat Dennings and a whole list of others. I mean, this man, he's a bumblebee. He's maybe doing what? Knight Rider?
He is one Scorpion King away from leaving us.
He really, really is.
Like, he's getting really close.
He really, really is. It's called Dallas and Robo. It's the name of the animation series for YouTube Red. He will be playing Robo, the self-proclaimed warrior poet Robo, who has to navigate their way. Part space adventure, part buddy comedy. The series created by Mike Roberts follows a sassy space trucker, Dallas, which is Kat Dennings, and self-proclaimed warrior poet Robo Cena, who have to navigate their way around cannibal bikers, rival space truckers, and vending machine burritos as they try to make a buck in the seedy world of interplanetary big rigging. The series is set to debut exclusively on YouTube Red in 2018. That sounds kind of awesome and awful at the same time.
I kind of want to watch it. I don't know if I want to be sober when I do this, but I do want to watch it.
I mean, it's something. It's different. I mean, yeah.
Different? Different's good.
I'm going to say it's a different word. Different is a good word description of this series.
Yeah. Just a little bit. So, anyway, so congratulations to John Cena as his ever-growing list of projects continues to grow.
I mean, he's going to be in everything. Let's be real.
Well, here's the thing. He's winding down his wrestling career, if I could speak, clearly. So he's now making a move over to Hollywood. The Rock did something very similar way back in 2001 or 3 or something like that.
2002-ish, he started. 2001, he started dabbling. 2002, he was still dabbling more. By 2003, he was done. By 2004, he was completely done.
Yeah, he was out. So John Cena is doing something very similar where he's transitioning sort of away from wrestling and into movies. And I can't blame him. I really can't. I mean, if you can make the money, make the money. Because that's kind of what he's about, is making sure he has a very secure future. And that's one way to do it. And if he's not putting his body on the line, hey, all the better.
Yeah.
So, congratulations to John Cena. Congratulations are also in order for the one, the only, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. That's right. We have happy news to report. Flair has kicked out. He's conscious. He's getting very better. God, what is wrong with me tonight? He's getting better. And he's getting ready to go to a recovery center. He's going to come out of the hospital soon.
It's going to be a slow process. It's not going to be anytime soon. The good news is he's up and walking with assistance. That's good. So, you know, they've gotten him up. He's walking around a little bit. It's going to be a long process for the Nature Boy, but he is improving day by day. It's a slow process, but it's day by day process. Eventually, when he's healthy enough, they will install an internal pacemaker. Currently, he is using an external one.
Yes, so congratulations to Rick. Continue to fight, to continue to get better. We're all rooting for you. And well, since we're on that trend and we're on that thread, let's do the Blame Brands.
All right, let's dive into the injury roundup.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Orton Castle is out hurt with a back injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
The party peacock partied a little bit too much. Did one too many backbends with the boys, you know.
I'm not going to comment, just moving it along.
Samoa Joe is out with a knee injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
I can't help but think this is a little aptly time for Joe because he's coming out of SummerSlam, out of that four-way, and there isn't a lot necessarily for him to do, especially with Strowman and Brock. I can't talk tonight, y'all.
Oh, don't worry. You'll be talking more and getting all your facts straight here in the next segment. But, yeah.
Yeah. I'm normally not like this. Well, no, normally I'm like this. But, you know, it's... Anyway, moving on. Samoa Joe. Brock and Braun are feuding. Joe doesn't really have a dance partner because Roman's moved on as well. So, I can't help but feel this is a little well-timed for Joe because it takes him off TV for about 6 weeks. He can recover. He can recuperate. That puts him past the next pay-per-view so he can just come back a house of fire.
Yeah, he got injured over the weekend, so it's nothing very serious. It's not serious, so we'll see how it goes. And yeah, it's... I mean, anytime you're off TV, you kind of get forgotten, but it's going to be a short time, and hopefully they don't keep him off TV all this, the entire time. Maybe he'll just... won't get in the ring. Maybe they'll have him back in a couple weeks, back on TV. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. And last but certainly not least, it has not dampened his spirit. It has not stopped his Dragon Con attendance. Oh no! No, no. Xavier Woods may have a knee injury, but by God, he's a Dragon Con.
Hashtag blame Brent.
I believe it is a MCL, PCL sprain, one of the two. It's nothing major. It's a 4 or 5 week injury. He'll be on television the entire time. Becky Lynch was just recovering from it, and her response was to him, "Oh yeah, I wrestled every week."
Yeah, because Becky's a badass like that.
Becky's a badass. Hers may have not been as severe of a sprain as his is, but sprain is a sprain. You saw him on Tuesday on SmackDown with the brace on. So it'll be a little bit of recovery time. It came at the worst weekend where he's going to be on his feet the entire time.
Yeah, but he'll be partying, so I don't think he's necessarily going to notice. You know?
Maybe he should get a costume where he needs a scooter or a, what's the stand-up scooters called?
A Segway?
Segway, thank you.
He wouldn't be able to move around in a Segway, there's too many people.
Well, he'd get a horn and just beep everyone out of the way. I don't know. Either way, he'll probably figure out a way to get around easily. He may cut back on some stuff, but yeah, that sort of thing.
But yeah, so... feel better, Xavier Woods. Good thing for him is he can manage New Day and not have to worry about wrestling, so he's not going to take too much of a hit, which is good.
This is true. Alright, we got a mention on Twitter. We've caught a comment from Twitter. We're going to bring it up here before we dive deeper into the injury roundup, because we got one more.
Yeah.
So, we talked about John Cena a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is a shameless plug. Coming next week, the Rack Extra Total Bellas returned right here to WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com. Exclusive podcast. Check it out. When it drops on Thursday afternoons. Bam. Nikki Bella. There's stuff going on with Nikki Bella, isn't there?
There is stuff going on with Nikki Bella. I don't know if it's 100% confirmed yet, but there's a rumor that she's going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
That seems to be the ongoing rumor that Nikki is going to be doing that.
I mean, there was something on Total Divas last season, I forget which one, where Nikki was being courted by ABC to do Dancing with the Stars. Before she made her comeback last year, and she made the decision to do her comeback rather than do the TV show, and now because she's out again, this time potentially for good, she's doing the show, which she's another one that's transitioning out of wrestling into more TV-based projects and movies and other ventures that she has, because she's quite a busy lady with all her business ventures. So I don't think it's been confirmed yet. I know Drew Scott has been confirmed.
Drew Scott of the Property Brothers, one of our favorite shows to watch, has been confirmed for the series, but he's the only one confirmed at this moment. But it appears Nikki is going to be headed into that direction when it is official. Official, official. We will mention it.
I don't know who to root for.
Here on the show.
I'm going to be so torn. I may actually have to watch it. It's been years since I've watched Dancing with the Stars.
If you can get 1,000 people to like a tweet, we will do a rack extra on the Dancing with the Stars.
Get 1,000 people to listen to the show.
You can get 1,000 people to like a tweet saying the rack should listen, what, do the rack extra totally dancing, the rack extra Dancing with the Stars. We will totally do an episode about it.
The rack extra total dancing.
The rack extra total dancing. If you can get 1,000 likes to that, we will do a rack extra about it. Cool?
Cool. Cool.
Got it.
So, moving on from that, thank you so much for the Twitter mention. You can interact with us.
Yeah, apparently the cast will be announced on September 6th, so next week we'll have it officially.
Hey, we'll have news.
We'll have news if she's officially on it. Thank you, Ashley, on the Twitters. Now, yes. Back to the injury roundup presented by Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow Jeremy again at Instagram.com/MBG1211.
So, this isn't a blame Brent. We're going to take this one a little bit more seriously than we take everything else because this is a very caustic, abrasive, bad situation. I mean, any number of descriptors, adjectives that you want to use for this. Over the weekend, Rosemary went down to Mexico and wrestled Sexy Star.
Where we got? Was it for Triple Mania?
Yeah, I think it was for Triple Mania.
Yeah, Triple Mania 25, yes.
The two had an encounter, and Sexy Star put an armbar on Rosemary. It was not a worked armbar, it was a legit hold, which resulted in Rosemary's shoulder being dislocated, and there's video of it that shows Sexy Star not only putting the hold on, holding the hold, dislocating the shoulder, but holding the hold after the shoulder dislocates. And she holds it for a few good seconds, I would say, if not longer than that. I can't exactly remember because I watched it the night it came out, but I don't remember quite how long she holds it after. But she doesn't let go once the shoulder dislocates, and she actually wrenches the arm, like she jerks it and everything, which only causes, obviously, the injury to get worse, because you actually hear Rosemary screaming in utter pain after that happens, which naturally, of course, because she's in actual pain. This is where this situation gets awkward. Sexy Star has come out. She released a statement today, and then she's also kind of said things directly after the fact where it was an accident, that she did not intentionally mean to put the hold on, that this is all just one gigantic big misunderstanding. Rosemary released a statement earlier this week basically saying that it's not an accident. She did it intentionally. She injured her intentionally. Rosemary is out for blood. And a lot of the wrestling industry is as well. Sexy Star is in some hot water right now. She's already lost a couple bookings. She lost WrestleCade for sure because of this incident. I think she's been dropped from a few other shows. And yeah, I mean, this is not good.
Let's give the positive, because there is a positive.
Yes.
The arm is not dislocated. It was a strained tricep/bicep with swelling around the area. Her doctors will eventually clear her. It is not a long-term injury, which she has to regain strength and range of motion. So it'll probably be a couple months before she's returning to the ring. That's the positive. The only positive. If you're going to release a statement, you may want to talk to someone before you release a statement. Sexy Star. I know you're trying to save face, but I think the better idea would have to say nothing than to say something in this case.
I think the better idea, honestly, would have been to come out and admit, yes, I did do it intentionally, and apologize, and either offer to cover some of the medical costs, or offer some type of reimbursement to Rosemary as a peace offering to attempt to smooth it out. She actually kind of, in her statement, sort of almost plays the victim in this. And it's like, but you're not the victim.
No, I mean, no, she's really not the victim now.
And we were kind of talking about this before we went on the air. And to me, it's like, okay, I understand accidents happen. They happen every day, all the time, in everything we do, because we're human. We make mistakes. Wrestling is no exception. So I can understand how you botch a move, you accidentally kick somebody too hard, you accidentally punch somebody too hard, you drop somebody, you screw up in some fashion. I get that. You know, it's like you're throwing a move, it doesn't go quite how you planned, and just accidents happen. Like, that I can understand. And if this was that, I could understand. Submission holds, I feel like, don't get covered like that, because you have to consciously put a hold on somebody.
Unless you've accidentally twisted the arm in a wrong direction, that'd be one thing. But that was not the case.
That was not the case. She made a very conscious decision to put the hold on the way that she put it on, to do what she did. She was very aware of what she was doing at the time. Because you have to be. To say that you zoned out and just did it wrong, that somehow makes it worse. Because now you're not paying attention. And I think that goes a little bit beyond just it being an accident. That goes on, that almost goes under failure to do your job.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, these people that go in the ring and wrestle, they put their lives on the line. They put their trust, their bodies, everything in the hands of someone else. And you have to be able to trust the person you're working with. And Rosemary trusted Sexy Star. And Sexy Star broke that trust. It's like she didn't do her job. She didn't protect Rosemary, because that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to look out for each other. They're supposed to protect each other. Yes. Injuries and accidents happen. They happen all the time. If you ever talk to a wrestler that has injured someone, they feel terrible about it.
And the one thing you did not see in her statement was remorse.
No, there was no remorse. There was no apology. You know, even if it's an accident, even if it was a mistake, there's no apology. It's, well, you know, I don't know what happened. That's basically what it says. Is, I don't know what happened. And you just sit there and you're like, even if you don't know what happened, it's, you know, I'm so sorry this happened. I apologize. I want to make this up to you. You know, something. And granted, that could have happened behind the scenes, but if you're going to issue a public statement like that, you should mention that somewhere in there that, you know, we've worked it out. It's good. It can drop now. You know, whatever. Just as a way to show that, yes, I am remorseful. Yes, this has been taken care of. We've worked it out between each other. Everything's cool. Because that's the statement you should really be releasing. Not, well, I tried to stay silent, but now I'm not going to stay silent anymore. I don't know how this happened. I don't know why I'm being accused of this. Yada, 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 yada. And you can read the full statement online, but there's no remorse in it. There's none. And I guess that's really disappointing.
Very disappointing. But then again, what else? What else would you expect?
Well, no, I just said what I expected.
No, I'm just saying, what else can you expect? It's like, when you look at people like that, it's like, you gotta own up and take responsibility. And she didn't, and that's the sad part about it.
Yeah,
and
so...
Which is why there are a lot of people who do not want her in their locker room, which is why there are a lot of people, well, she's gonna lose a lot of wrestling bookings, because people won't, if I'm a female, I would not want to be in the ring with her anytime soon.
What I want to know is, like, why would you even do it in the first place? Did you two have beef? Was there an issue in the locker room? Because it's like, you know, it could be that, I understand, it's like, okay, Rosemary said something, and the way that they are is, it's like, if you say something or you misbehave or you don't show enough respect, yeah, they'll punish you a little bit. So I can see how she wanted to punish her if, like, Rosemary opened her mouth and said something, but I don't think that's the case at all.
Yeah.
It's a completely unmotivated thing, unless there is a motive, and then it's like, please come out with it so we all understand exactly why this happened.
But it shouldn't matter if there's a motive or not. When you get in the ring, any personal beef goes away. The idea is you're trusting another person with your life. That's it. Simple as that. And she failed to do that, and she has proven herself untrustworthy, and that's where it lies.
Yes. So, feel better, Rosemary. I'm glad it's not dislocated. I'm glad it's only a strain. And she'll be back to work sooner rather than later. So, very happy to hear that good news for her. And hopefully this all gets worked out. And everything's fine.
Right. Now, before we move on to one more thing, there was one more little news item. GFW has agreed to continue their deal with Pop TV through the end of 2018. That is good for them. Gives them a little bit more time to figure out their game plan. So they're, you know, it was supposed to be up in the first quarter of 2018. So now they'll probably go through the end of the year next year. It's good for them. It's stable. They're continuing to be stable on television.
Agreed.
Because they're probably going to make a move at some point. But right now, this is the best move to make until they can continue to get their feet underneath them. Because they're trying to do that right now. With everything going on, this is the best move they can make.
Yeah, they have to continue to build and rebuild and get their feet under them. And it's a slow and steady process. It's not going to happen instantaneously. They're not going to try and, you know, regrow that company super quick, because that's what kind of caught them in the end was they expanded too quickly and too much, and the money wasn't there to cover it. So now it's okay, well, we've shrunk back down, the company shrunk back down to where it can support itself, kind of, and now we're going to slowly start to grow it. So you'll see that again. And keeping them on pop is a good plan, you know, because gradually as the product improves and they get better and they grow, they can potentially attract a larger network.
Because then they become a property people will be interested in paying for, which is not what Pop TV deal is. It's a sort of partnership deal. So it's like, it's whenever they can get their feet under them and become a priority, a property that people want, it'll be the best thing for them. Side note, Jim Cornette is awesome on their television show. He is the best authority figure that's in the business right now because he's Jim Cornette, and he's doing a great job in the 3 weeks he's been on television.
Yes, agreed.
Plus, he's a former guest of the show, and you can listen to that at rockradioshow.com.
Yes. So, moving on, we mentioned it at the top of the show, and we're going to mention it now because I have to talk about this, and you have to talk about this. Earlier this week, WWE finally released the first 4 episodes of the highly anticipated Mae Young Classic. Oh my god. I'm digging it. I'm so digging it.
Okay, so there are a lot of people who are on the fence about it, understandably so, because it's women's wrestling, and it's the mindset, oh, it's just the women's wrestling. So it has to change the mindset. When you look at the Cruiserweight Classic and you compare it to the Mae Young Classic, they're roughly the same. With one little difference. The matches were probably better in the Cruiserweight Classic overall. I'm not going to disagree with that statement. But from a character standpoint, you're learning a lot more about the women than you did with the Cruiserweights. Because you're allowing them to come in and sort of be who they are. And you haven't really changed them to fit a WWE mold. And the best part is, you understand who's the babyface and who's the heel. And it's not based on just your country.
Yeah. Which is really nice. I mean, this also echoes the UK tournament quite a bit. It's customized to them, to fit them. You can tell WWE has put some money behind this. They've put some time behind this. They've brought people in from all over the world. It's a very diverse mix, which is really cool to see. They've mixed some of their own people in there, but for the most part, it's all indie talent. And like you said, it's really nice that they didn't repackage anybody. They did change names for some people because copyright reasons, but otherwise they've left them alone.
If they changed your name, it probably means they have a little bit of interest in you.
Yup.
That, just going to throw that out there. Some other positives before we get into the matches themselves, because there's a bunch of stuff to really get into with the matches. The graphic work on this show is really well done.
Mm-hmm.
I know you particularly like the matchup screens they've been using.
Yeah, I love the hair blowing in the breeze, and they're, you know, they're looking all epic and almost Wonder Woman-ish. I mean, I really like that. I really like how they're treating them like legit superstars, because we've had the Women's Revolution, and we had the change from the Divas to the Women's, and it's like, yeah, that's been there. But this is the first time, like, that they get their own tournament, and you see that impact of how that change has occurred in this tournament. Because they're treating it like a big deal. Because it is a big deal.
Oh yeah, without question. It's a very big deal.
So I love the graphic work. I love how they go back to Charlie in the studio, and she kind of breaks it down a little bit before they come back to the arena. And that's really, really nice. Now, I know you didn't particularly like one thing, and that was the way that they lit it.
Yeah, I understand what they were going for. Like, you darken the crowd and then light the ring. I'm okay with the lighting of the ring. But the darkening of the crowd, to me, because it's such a small arena, you're completely cutting off the crowd. When you do it in the bigger arena, you see the first couple rows, and then it goes dark. But you really don't get that feel in the NXT arena, in the Full Sail arena. It just doesn't, to me, it could have used a little bit more lighting. That's just me. It's a nitpick, but I don't know. I got used to it as the show went on. But the first episode, it felt a little too dark for me.
Yeah, the first match, it was like, I don't know about this. But then after that, it was like, yeah, okay, that's fine. I mean, I like that they do that because then it puts the focus on the ring. Because you know how the Full Sail crowd can be sometimes. They can be a little distracting. So by taking the lights down, you're keeping the focus on the wrestlers where it needs to be.
Oh, yeah.
And not on the crowd. So
I agree with that part, but it just, I don't know. I knew what they were going for. When they do it in Las Vegas for the finals, it will probably look better.
Oh, yeah, because they'll be in a bigger arena.
Yeah, and that's where you can showcase the lights a little bit more. Before we get into the match, I have one more negative.
Okay.
And this is a production negative. So it was after the final match in the first episode. They decided, okay, we're going to get this, the crowd's up and they're cheering and everything like that, and you see them cheering. But they dub over fake crowd noise in the building, and it just sounds so fake. If that sounds like it's a 20,000 seat arena cheering, and you hear the sound effect, and it's just really awful sounding.
Yeah.
That's like a real negative. Like, you can see, you know, they're making noise. They're on their feet. They're clapping. It was, you know, they were making the noise you wanted to, but you add, because you, here's the problem, and here's where to boil it down to. You redubbed the commentary.
Yeah.
So that's why some of the crowd noise throughout the show was redubbed in, because you redid the commentary after the fact. Because I believe they had them originally broadcast, do the broadcast live, but they went in and made some changes. So it would sound more crisp and everything. And it's like, you can just tell at those moments where they redubbed it and they altered the crowd and everything like that. And the ending, you could completely tell it was redubbed a little bit. And it just, I don't know, it takes away from the presentation. It's the point where you're trying to be too fine with it. But that's what happens when you redub audio, is like, you have to re-then mix in sound effects. And you can't get rid of the commentary and keep the crowd noise, because since you were doing it all at once.
Right.
It's just, it's minor things like that that I take away from it, but that's just me.
Another thing you mentioned in the commentary, I wasn't necessarily a fan of Lita and JR together. Like, they had some really good moments, but they also had some really awkward moments, because, at least to me, they're both playing the face commentator. And you don't necessarily need, like, a straight heel, but I feel like they could have found someone to be that heel commentator to Lita, and that would have worked. I mean, not taking anything away from JR. I mean, he's fantastic. He's one of the best in the business. But I just feel like the commentary felt just a little bit flat with the two of them, because there wasn't that color person necessarily there to pump it up. Like, Lita was trying, but she just didn't have that energy that someone like Corey Graves has, that he can just go in there and just do that and do that really well.
Because here's the thing. It's, again, they were redoing the commentary, so it wasn't like you're in this live experience.
Right.
So it's like, you've already seen the match, and you're calling it a second time. When you're calling something a second time, it takes away from the natural response. And that's sort of what happened with the commentary. They, you know, they're redoing it a second time, and they're trying to play off each other more and have all the stats and everything. It's like, I understand it, but you're kind of missing something from the original, like, live thoughts behind it. Because you saw, this is what their finisher is. You knew whatever. They knew what was coming, rather than calling it live.
Right.
And that's, I think, the big part with the commentary.
Agreed.
And you could also use someone with a heel. But, again, you're not trying. It's not even a heel. It's trying to get over. You don't have to be a heel to get over a heel. You need someone to get the heel over a little bit more. I guess that's a good way to put it.
I would agree with that. Yeah. So, let's dive into the matches, because we need to talk about the matches on this show.
Let's do it. What's up? What was the first episode?
You're funny.
I gave you a link.
I know you did.
I did prep you on this.
Yes, I know you did. Alrighty, we have Princessa Suhi. I think that's how you say it. I'm so sorry if I said your name wrong. Taking on Katie Lee Ray. I just want to say this. I felt really bad for Katie Lee Ray, because they did these little, like, intro packages for all the girls. And in, like, at least six people, Katie Lee Ray is in their promo package getting her butt kicked by whoever they're introducing. Like, I felt so bad for her, because you could tell, it's like, she's experienced and she's wrestled a lot of these girls, but it's like, it did her no favors to use those clips of her. I mean, granted, they probably didn't have a choice, but, you know, it's like, still, it's like, oh, hey, look, there's Katie Lee Wright right there. So I felt really bad for her in that sense, but she and Princessa had a good match.
It was solid. Nothing to write home about, but Princessa got the win via an armbar. Yeah, it was a solid match. It was a good start to the show. I will say one thing. I love the highlight video packages that explained everyone who everyone is.
Mm-hmm. That was nice.
Especially the next one coming up.
Yes. We have the returning Serena Deeb taking on Vanessa Bourne.
I really enjoyed the package on Serena Deeb. It gave a nice backstory of why she left. She had to get her problems of drinking problems under control and this is her, basically, her redemption. As far as the match goes, they even said in the commentary they were keeping it very basic. Or was, no, that was the other match they said it was really basic, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was, that was somebody else.
That was the Mercedes Martinez match, right? Even though, Okay, but that being said, they kept this one very basic as well. It was very simple, very matter-of-fact. Serena Deeb got the win. No surprise there.
No, but there's potential in Vanessa Bourne. There's a lot of potential there. I'm kind of excited for her.
Yeah.
So, up next, the woman that's going to put a hurting on a lot of people and has got a couple people maybe looking over their shoulder, Shayna Baszler takes on the fantastic Zeta.
Zeta.
Sorry.
The one thing you notice about this one is Shayna Baszler wrestles a completely different style than anyone else on the roster.
Yup.
She does a legit MMA style. If I was Sonya Deville, I would be like, can I change my gimmick? Yeah.
Right.
Shayna Baszler is going to be the real deal if they sign her. This was a short match. You had the Four Horsemen in there afterwards, opposing. It's key for later on in the series. I enjoyed Shayna Baszler's performance, and I like the style she's going to use.
Yeah, I agree with that. My only criticism is that she just needs a little bit more polish, because you could tell that she was pulling the punches and the kicks just a little bit, because there wasn't the force behind them. But Shayna Baszler is one to watch out for. Definitely. I really enjoyed her. I enjoyed her wrestling style because she is that fresh air. I'm all about Shayna Baszler. I'm all over this.
You're all in.
I am all in for her. All in for her. Please do things with her. Mm-hmm. She's fantastic. And speaking of being all in for things, our final match of episode one is the Abby Leif taking on Jazzy Gabbert.
I was surprised by the outcome. One, I was surprised how over the alpha female Jazzy Gabbert is. I like this match. It wasn't a great match, but you can see the raw potential in Jazzy.
They need to sign her.
And she could be a Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar type of the female division if given the right seasoning.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you throw Shayna and Jazzy into the women's division, and now things are going to start getting interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I love Nia Jax. Nia Jax is fantastic, but they bring that sort of tough girl, badass, to a whole other level. And it's like, you look at, you know, they're along that same lines of Nia Jax, where it's like, oh my god, you look at her, and it's like, how do I beat her? Well, Abby Leif figured it out. Obviously, because, you know, it's Abby Leif, it's Kimberly, she can do anything. But Jazzy looked really good in this match, right up to the end.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they could bring, it's like you could have like Nia Jax on Raw and you could do, or move Nia Jax over to SmackDown, you could bring Shayna Baszler up to Raw, or you could have, you know, you could throw Jazzy in there if you sign her. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of potential in these two, and you're just sitting there like, yes, yes, I'm about this.
And the key for Abby's win was she used Mae Young's alligator clutch finish.
Yes, she did. Which I thought was very sweet, because it had been passed down from Mae Young to her trainers to her. So it was very, very sweet.
Yeah. What's next?
Episode 2! We have Mercedes Martinez take on Xia Li.
This was the basic. They said, basically said in the commentary, they're keeping it very basic. This was her first matchup ever.
And she did very well for her first match. Not very well in general, but this was her first match. Mercedes walked her through it. She did a fantastic job with her. Mercedes looked like a boss. I love Mercedes Martinez so much. It makes me so happy that she's in this tournament. And yeah, Mercedes picks up the victory. No surprise there. But we're going to be saying this a lot. They need to do something with Mercedes Martinez, whether it's they sign her, whether they bring her in as a trainer, whatever. They need to have Mercedes Martinez be part of their product. Because she's a boss.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also very, very talented. She got a lot of really nice compliments during this tournament. A lot of people were looking up to her, and I think she impressed a lot of people.
She did.
So, go Mercedes, go! In a not-so-stunner...
This was not a really good match.
This is not a very good match. Bless them, they tried. Rachel Evers took on Marty Bell.
It was a thing. Rachel Evers won. I don't want to criticize it, because it was not that good.
Yeah, it was there. They tried their best. That's what we're going to say with. Moving on! Rhea Ripley took on Miranda Salinas.
Solid match.
Yeah, very solid match. I mean, this is basically the get-to-know-you portion of the tournament. So yeah, it's like a lot of these matches were just solid. I think they saved a lot of it for the next round for those that moved on. So yeah, this was good. This was fine. Mia Yim took on Sarah Logan.
Another solid matchup.
Who did I say? If James Storm and Steve Austin had a child together, it would be Sarah Logan.
That is exactly what you said. Mia Yim picked up the win.
Solid but I like Sarah Logan.
Sarah Logan has potential, and she's already on the contract.
And she's cute as hell.
Episode 3.
One of my new favorites. Another one they need to sign. Toni Storm takes on Aisha Raymond, who is signed.
I don't know.
I think she is because they were saying she was discovered at least at a talent tryout. So I think she might be under contract.
She may be. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now I remember who she is. Yeah.
Yeah. So Aisha Raymond, very impressive. Very cool. Like her. I can't wait to see her on NXT. Love the hell out of Toni Storm.
Toni Storm has potential.
She's a little bundle of dynamite. She's almost like a female Shawn Michaels. That's what she reminds me of.
I can see that.
And I love that. Because it's like, it's Shawn Michaels, but done right. Because a lot of people try to do Shawn Michaels and they just get it wrong. Duff. She's doing it right.
Yep.
We're not going to name names. We're not going to be mean.
Duff.
Moving on. Kaveta Devi? I think that's how you say her name. I hope so. Takes on Dakota Kai, who I didn't realize Dakota Kai was Evie until they showed her package.
Yeah, okay. Phrasing on that one.
I said package, not box. Get it right. Anyway, moving on.
Solid match. Dakota Kai got the win.
She's adorable. Oh my god, she's so cute. I love her. Next up, we have Bianca Belair versus Sage Beckett.
I don't like the hair thing.
The hair thing bothers me. Like, it's creative, and I applaud her for coming up with it. I just don't like it because it's like, there's that really obvious loophole of you just stand on her hair.
There's that.
Like, I think if it was a little bit shorter, it would be better, but it's like just watching her wrestle with it, it's like, dude, somebody's gonna step on that thing and rip it off your head. Because her hair is really, really, really long. Because I get it. She uses it to, like, hit people with it. But, yeah. I mean, she's really cool otherwise, but it's like the hair was just a little distracting. But this was a solid match.
Yeah.
And last, but certainly not least, we have the adorable, beautiful Piper Niven taking on Santana Garrett.
I don't know what it is, but when I look at Santana Garrett, I dislike her. And I
she reminds me a lot of Eve.
She reminds, yeah, Eve is a good comparison. She just has that face where, you know, I don't like her. Nothing wrong with her in general, it's just, it's the perception.
Oh, crap. Who did the hair flip? Who did, like, the mix of the Summer Rae and, like, Emma entrance?
I'm trying to remember, but I can't.
Was it Miranda Salinas? Yeah.
May have been. I don't remember off the top of my head. We'll have to go back and we'll figure it out for next week.
We'll figure it out for next week. But yeah, Piper Niven versus Santana Garrett was a very good match. I love Piper. She's adorable. She had a little bit of problem with her costume because the side, she had like cutouts on the side with like that flexy string extension, or not extension cord, but like bungee cord stuff in it. She had that crisscross in the side and that came out accidentally as the match went on, so she's having a little bit of trouble with that. But other than that, great match.
Solid stuff. Michiko Driver for the win.
So, go Piper, go! And episode 4, we have the person a lot of people have been waiting for, Candice LeRae making her WWE debut, taking on Renee Michelle.
Solid match. I like to finish the swinging neckbreaker from the middle rope. I like that. Miss LeRae's wild ride. You had Johnny at ringside.
Which was so cute.
They were chanting Candice Wrestling.
Yep.
Because, you know, her last name is Wrestling, just like Johnny's.
Yes, of course. Well, she took his name.
Exactly.
So she's Candice Wrestling. Makes complete sense.
Makes complete sense.
But yeah, Candice LeRae is another one they need to sign. They really do. They need to get her under contract. She would be really, really, really good for NXT. Up next, we have Lacey Evans taking on Tenera Conti.
Solid match.
Solid match. Tenera was a little scary.
A little bit.
But overall, very good match. She played up the heel very well. Tenera did. Lacey, I kind of wish Lacey would wrestle with her hair up. Just because this is me personally, and this has nothing to do with anything, but I don't like when the girls have like really super long hair, because it gets really distracting in a match. It's like, if I understand they wear their hair long for their job, but part of me is almost like, can you just like pull it back? Because honestly, this is just me. I don't understand how girls and guys with long hair can wrestle with it down. Because it always gets in your face and you can't see.
Yeah, that sort of is a thing, yeah.
It's like, why do you wrestle with it down? Other than, you know, it's like obviously visual, which I get, but it's just like, wouldn't you want that crap out of your face?
That's why MMA fighters braid it up.
Yep. Lacey Evans picked up the victory, by the way. Up next, we have Raina Gonzalez taking on Nicole Savoy.
They worked over a knee injury in this one. Solid match. Nothing overly special.
Mm-mm.
Again, there's the matches are 3, 4, or 5 minutes long. There's nothing really to them.
Yeah, this was all just very quick. They're trying to get through it sort of thing to get on to the next round because they taped, you know, I think two.
This was the first round, so they taped all of them here, and then the second round was taped another day.
Yeah. So they're trying to get through everybody because it's a long show. So it's 4 45-minute intervals, so you can do the math on that and figure out how long they actually did the taping. And last, but certainly not least, in the best match of the series, at least I would argue is the best match of the series, we had Kairi Sane taking on Tessa Blanchard. Holy crap, this was a great match. Tessa Blanchard needs to get signed. I'm just gonna, like, throw that out there right now. They just put that girl on the dotted line.
This was the most physical, the most hard-hitting. This was, simply put, the best match of the series. So, to date, it went about 8 minutes or so. Kairi Sane hit the elbow drop for the win. I enjoyed this one. Tessa should be signed. Carrie's signed. Tessa had the unfortunate chin, but yes, everything I enjoyed so much about that one.
Yeah, Tessa, bless you for working with the chin. I know there's nothing you can do about it, but damn, she can go.
She can definitely go.
She would be a huge asset to NXT if they could bring her on. And that's what you could say about a lot of these girls, because I mean, it's like really all of them should get signed. But I mean, just in terms of the standouts of the people that are ready to go right now that you could easily drop into any part of your product, yeah. Bring them on and just go for it.
Yeah, pretty much. Overall, good first round.
Good first round. I really like that they broke it up into four because that made it for easy watching.
It was easy watching, yes.
So I'm looking forward to the next round where I think it's four again.
Mm-hmm.
For the semifinals? Quarterfinals?
Second and third rounds. And finals, I think.
No, finals...
Second and third round, yeah. And
yeah, because finals are going to be live.
Mm-hmm. But I say we take a break.
I say we take a break, too. So when we come back, we are going to be having our mystery discussion, which is going to revolve around Roman Reigns. So, well, you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. 8 fucking lanes. 8 motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather scream for time. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 in my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green. No one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
No, I don't know.
Steve, man. Somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday. You can't buy beer. Wait a minute. What time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it?
All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy.
Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green lights just came on this fucking...
about to get plowed by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-taken left in. I thought to myself... Maybe I have one badass spear left in me. And I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're going to put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list. Write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Rack Extra gets a little Bella in the form of Total Bellas. Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
I feel like I'm trapped, like you're kind trapped. Of living in a padded cell.
Check out the Rack Extra, Total Bellas Weekly at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
This Tuesday, now that the intern dethroned Tim Stein for the CB Radio Championship, he must attempt to survive the ultimate CB Radio Challenge. Can the intern survive the nightly WTR Sims as the CB Radio Champion? Find out Tuesday night, 11:15 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow. There are no excuses this Tuesday night.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana of the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio Show on the Wildcat Network.
Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio on the Wildcat Radio Network.
Wild Talk.
I don't know. I think we should keep it. I think it's funny.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to Rack Radio on Wild Talk Radio.
Perfect.
Wait, I'll do Rack Radio Show, sorry. All right, one more time.
One more time.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio. Take four. I'm going to take four masks.
Now I don't feel so bad.
There you go.
Hey And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Also, a huge shout out to everybody listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, and WildTalkRadio.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Get a quick second, go check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com because they're awesome and we love them and you will too. So, when we were originally planning this show, we didn't have a discussion, but then Monday night happened, and Monday night turned into Tuesday, and I had a lot on my mind Tuesday, but something just kind of rang through from the Roman Reigns John Cena segment from Monday night, which a lot of people are talking about. It was a fantastic segment. I highly recommend everybody go back and watch it because it was a fabulous little piece of theater. But there's something that sticks out to me from that that sort of bothered me about it. It's actually a couple things, but this one in particular, just because it made me think about it, and it made me think about the direction that Roman Reigns is going. And I'm going to disclaimer this up front. None of this is an attack on Roman Reigns. This is all how he's being written. This is not, to me, this is not on Roman Reigns. This is on the writing. Just had to put that out there just in case anybody was unclear. Anyway, moving on. So Roman Reigns looks at John Cena and he says, I don't want to be you. I don't want to lessen myself to be you. You know, my bloodline and everything I've got going on is greater than you. Okay, fair. That's not what bothered me. What bothered me is you look at John Cena on paper. John Cena has been the face of WWE for the past 10 to 15 years. Really, probably about 12, give or take.
Since 2004, he's become the face of WWE right after WrestleMania 20.
Okay, so 13 years. A respectable number. He's a multi-time champion, including a 15-time world champion.
16, isn't he?
No, 15. He never tied Flair.
He tied Flair. He never beat Flair. He won 16 and then Bray beat him.
Oh, that's right, he did. I'm sorry, then his wiki isn't up to date. It's 16 times.
I believe so, isn't it?
No, I thought it was 15 because Flair's a 16-time because I thought Jon Stewart...
Anyway, keep going. You keep going on your point. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, you figure it out. Anyway, my point. He has endorsement deals. He does movies. He does TV shows. He does award shows. He's everywhere. He's made a crap ton of money. He's the face of their charity. No one in the history of the Make-A-Wish organization has granted as many wishes as John Cena. He holds a record with the Make-A-Wish program for everything he's done for them. His charity work is just absolutely outstanding. And he's led the charge on that for the company. And he's really aided them in being able to break into doing philanthropic work like that. So congratulations to him. So, okay, so that's the summary. And that's not going in depth on everything John Cena is and everything John Cena has done. And then you go back to that promo. And Roman Reigns, and thanks to a listener slash Tumblr user who submitted this to an answer to this question, pointed out that in interviews, Roman Reigns has said he's wanted all this. He wants the fame, he wants the money, he wants the deals, he wants it all. You know, he wants to be the face of the company. But then you have him go on TV and you have him say he doesn't want it. Because he doesn't want to be John Cena. And I understand the context, which was he doesn't want to do it the way that Cena did it, but the way that it came off is he doesn't want what John Cena has. He doesn't want to be the face of the company, which kind of bothered me because it's like, okay, you're pushing this guy to the moon. He's already a 3 to 4 time champion. He's won the Royal Rumble. He's a tag team champion or former tag team champion. He has a growing list of accolades. He's the guy that you're pushing to the top, and you have him go out on TV and say that what he's presently going after, he doesn't want. That he doesn't want to be John Cena, so he doesn't want that title. He doesn't want the money. He doesn't want the fame. And it's like, that's a little confusing to me, just because it's like, well, then why is he here? If Roman Reigns isn't after being the absolute best and being the absolute top guy in that company, then what is his goal? What does he even want? Who is he? I mean, I get it. I know who he is. He's the guy. He's the big dog. He's this. He's that. He's a catchphrase with nice hair. That's what they write him as, is a catchphrase with nice hair. Because we don't know what Roman Reigns is after. Like, what's his endgame? A lot of guys, you look at that roster, you know what their goal is. You know what their endgame is. You know where they're going. Roman Reigns, you look at him and you're like, maybe? I don't know.
If his goal is to be the top guy, to be the greatest of all time, then why wouldn't you want to be John Cena?
And I mean, Roman's got some pretty stiff competition in his family. He's only, I think, the third person in his family to hold the WWE Championship. because it was Yokozuna and it was The Rock. Yeah. I think those are the two he's really competing with.
Those are the two he's competing with. And you look at The Rock and all the success The Rock's had in WWE and then outside of WWE as being one of the biggest movie star in current times. I won't even go beyond movie star because he's a television star, et cetera, et cetera. So it's like, but if you stick it to the WWE, when everything he's trying to be, it's, if you're not trying to be, if you don't want to be John Cena, then why are you even trying? The guy is a 16-time world champion, 13 WWE and 3 world. There's your combination for 16. He has been on top of the business longer than anyone you can name sans The Undertaker.
Yeah.
You look at this, look at Stone Cold Steve Austin. His run in WWE, 4 years as the top guy because of injuries. The Rock, as the top guy, started in 1998. He was done by 2002, 2003 as the top guy. John Cena has been the top guy for at least 10 years, 12 years, until he's now starting to fade away from the top position, as he mentioned on Raw.
Right, which, as he should do, they're transitioning from, you know, everyday face of the company to now a featured attraction on the shows, which is what you need John Cena to be, because they need to get that, you know, it's like we all always used to joke that John Cena is the glass ceiling. Nobody can get past John Cena. Well, now it's, okay, they realize that. And John Cena's realized that, and it's like, okay, he's done everything he can possibly do in WWE. Now he's going to get back. Now he's going to remove himself from the situation. He's going to go do everything he wants to do, which is movies and TVs and award shows. And he's going to make bank on that, because it's really that now or never. This is the, okay, you've made your money in wrestling. Now what he's doing is, this is the, you're going to be set for life money that he's making right now.
And this money won't stop, because this money will continue to roll in on and on, and the roles will keep getting bigger and bigger, because it's, he will no longer be in the ring. His body will keep him alive doing these roles for a decade or two.
Yeah. And the thing is, it will allow him to heal up, because he has a lot of nagging injuries. He has a lot of problems that he has not addressed over the years, and so this will be good for him.
This will be very good for him.
But back to Roman Reigns.
But back to the Roman Reigns point. Yes. So, again, if you don't want to, and staying with John Cena for a second, because it ties all in. What is the John Cena character on television? Not the behind-the-scenes stuff that people claim to be. What is he on television? He's the most stand-up guy in WWE.
Yep, annoyingly so.
Annoyingly so, the most stand-up guy in WWE. So if your endgame is not to be the most stand-up guy in WWE, the greatest champion of all time, what is your goal? What is your endgame? Yes, you may not want, but, like, Roman Reigns, great father and everything like that. So, isn't that the same thing as being the character of John Cena? You go in day in and day out, you preach everything to be the best that you can be, you hustle, you're loyal to the company, and you respect the company. I think Roman follows everything John Cena does and doesn't want to admit it. Just saying.
I would agree with that.
Because to be the man, that's what you have to do. So if Roman Reigns does, it goes back to, what does Roman want out of this? What in what way from the character of John Cena does the character Roman Reigns not want to be? Does he call backstabber? Okay. But John Cena really, as a character, isn't that. He's been screwed over more times than anyone else from a character standpoint. So like, what do you want to be, Roman? It's like, what does Roman, in the end, want to be? And there's no real good answer to it.
Yeah, and the way that they're writing him is, there's not going to be an answer. It's like, Roman, to me, it's like, there's so much potential in Roman. There's so much they could do with Roman. But it feels like they don't want to do it, or they're scared to do it. And it's really sad, because right now, it's like, you have someone like Roman Reigns, you're setting him out there, you put him in a promo battle with John Cena, and you make him look like a fool. Which wasn't, I get that was part of the intention, but I don't think it was really the intention, because it's like, you purposely put in there, at least from what I understand, and I went off on this on Monday and I'm going to go off on it again, is that you had a moment where you show Roman Reigns forget his lines. And I understand it's meant to be a moment of weakness, but there's other ways to do a moment of weakness. And you put a guy that's not necessarily great on the mic, he's not terrible, but he's not great on the mic, and you made him look worse against John Cena, who, as we all know, cuts the best, I'm the best, impassioned promo you've ever seen in your life. It's his bread and butter. for years guy. I mean, it's just, it was like, it felt really off kilter and really off balance, and it did not help John. It didn't help Roman at all. It may, you know, it's like, especially since his best reply was, you know, well, you're a bitch, or something to that effect. I mean, that was his best reply at one point. And it's like, yeah.
Not the best, though.
I mean, it's like, if you're going to write Roman Reigns. Give him good material. Because he can't act. He's done a lot to improve himself. Give him a chance to prove it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, they have him going out there, you know, and it's like, yeah, he's this cool, supposedly cool, suave, doesn't give a crap attitude guy. And it's like, yeah, but do you ever think that maybe that's why people are booing him? Because he doesn't give a crap? Because he just kind of walks out there and it's like, yeah, okay, all right, I'm here. I mean, it's, seriously, they're writing him like a heel, but he's a babyface. If you look at the character of Roman Reigns, he's a heel. He's a heel, but he's booked as a babyface. It's weird. It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's like, he's such a paradox with the way that they write him. And I don't understand why. Like, I would love to sit down with one of the writers one day and just be like, okay, explain to me why you're doing it like this. Because I'm sure if somebody explained it to me, I would get it. But it's like, you sit there and you're like, yeah, but, you know, you could do so much more with him, and you're not. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Sidetrack, we're about to have a fight in the Raiders-Seahawks game.
Oh, no.
There's a shocker. This NFL update brought to you by Gerwick.net. Ding! Moving on. Yeah, I mean, it's like, and I've said this before, it's just, I don't understand why they're writing Roman like this. I just don't. I don't get it. And I know that as fans, we have the term, the boo of endearment, where it's like, we all love to boo John Cena, because he's John Cena. But I feel like the reason why Roman gets booed isn't because he's Roman Reigns. Isn't because, you know, part of it is, it's fun to boo Roman Reigns, but I think a lot of it is, it just doesn't make sense to people. You know?
Oh yeah, okay.
Because, like, there's just, like I keep saying, there's so much there. There's so much talent there. And then also, it's like, well, maybe that segment also confusing is you had John Cena rip him a new asshole and then put him over in the same promo. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That whole segment, I mean, it was like, it was good for what it was, but it's like, when you actually drill down into it and you look at what was said, you kind of sit there and you're like, huh?
Yeah. I agree with that.
But it got me thinking. It's like, okay, well, if Roman Reigns doesn't want to be everything John Cena is, which is pretty much what they conveyed, what does he want to be? And kind of getting back on track because we went off on a tangent, I feel like they could tell that story with Roman, where it's, he figures out what he wants and he goes on that quest, you know,
mm-hmm.
to figure out, well, it's like, okay, this isn't getting me anywhere. This isn't getting me what I want, which we all know is the title, but he's not out there about the title, which I understand because they just had him in the title feud and they pulled it out, but it's, you don't have him going after another title.
Right.
Why don't you have Roman going after the IC title?
Because as John Cena said on Monday, Roman looked at that as a demotion.
It's a title.
I know this. You know this. But it's not the title.
Okay, but if you can't get into the title, a title is a title is a title. If your whole goal is to support your family and provide and make sure that they're always taken care of, you don't worry about demotions. You don't worry about anything like that. It's a title is a title is a title. A title is more pay. Because you're a champion. So you don't worry about whether it's a demotion or not. It's like, hey, if they're going to pay me more to carry this ugly belt around, guess what? I'm going to do that.
I don't disagree with you.
Because based on everything that I've seen, it's like, I have to assume at this point that Roman Reigns' endgame is to take care of his family. Because he doesn't want to be John Cena. So it's like, you know, you sometimes just need to get over it and be like, okay, well, if this is what I'm trying to get to, then this is what I need to do. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a story there. With that whole thing, I just haven't quite figured it out yet, but I wish they would tell it. I wish they would figure it out, and I wish they would tell that story with Roman. Because I feel like it could take him from being this kind of two-dimensional character to three-dimensional.
Chairman goes, play like Kevin Owens. Title equal more for his family and makes him a prize fighter. Even the second-tier belts.
Yep. Agreed.
Good way to put it.
Yeah. And it's like, Kevin Owens didn't care. He doesn't care. Title is a title is a title. Title is more money. It's really that simple.
It is simply that simple.
I mean, would Kevin Owens love to be SmackDown champion or love to be Raw champion? Yeah, no question. But if he can't get to that title, hey, guess what? There's a U.S. title here. I can go for that. There's tag team titles. I can find a partner that I can stand for 5 minutes and go get those. And if it's purely business for Roman, then make it about business. If it's purely about family, I guess make it about family. But it's like, if Roman is there to be the best, then make it about being the best.
Yeah.
And that's what they did for Triple H.
Always. He wanted to be the best, so he was the world champion.
Triple H did whatever it took to be the best, to be on top, to be the world champion. And you want to talk about somebody else who carried the company, who was the face of the company for a long, long time? Triple H.
Yeah, he was.
And he still kind of is doing all that. He's just doing it behind the scenes. But yeah, I mean, it's like, I think if they could figure out what Roman's endgame is, they'd have something, but I don't think they know.
And that's the case. They don't know.
It's like, where? What does Roman Reigns want? And where is he going? We could answer those two questions. I think we'd be in a lot better place, but the writers don't know, I don't think. And honestly, that's true of a lot of wrestlers on their roster right now. You look at their roster and it's like Finn Balor. Where is Finn Balor going? What is Finn Balor's end goal? Bray Wyatt. Where the hell is Bray Wyatt going? What is his end goal? You have a lot of people right now that are adrift. Where the hell is Luke Harper?
Everyone wants to know that answer.
If you find Luke Harper, tweet us. He's been missing for months. We're very worried about him. He keeps Instagramming about chickens. But yeah. I mean, there's a lot of wrestlers where it's like, I think, and this is the disconnect between the main roster and NXT, is a lot of these people that came up from NXT, they had a whole story about their character. Roman didn't have the benefit of that necessarily. It's like he was handed the Shield. He went into the Shield. He did the Shield thing for a while. Then he comes out of it and they're trying to figure out who he is. And they've been trying to figure out who he is for the last couple of years and what he's about and what he's after. But it's like, by now you guys should have this figured out. Somebody should have figured this out. And I think instead they're just feeding him catchphrases because...
Reasons.
So, I don't know. But it's like, if you could just write Roman better, if you could write a lot of people better, but mainly Roman, I think it would do him wonders.
I don't disagree.
So, yeah. So that's our thoughts on it. If you have thoughts on it, you can tweet us, you can Tumblr us, you can Facebook us, rockradioshow.com. We are happy to take any and all opinions. Go forth and conquer. And I say we take our second and final break of the evening.
That sounds like a good idea to me.
So when we come back, we're doing Tweet of the Week, we're doing NXT, we're doing SmackDown. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to the Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
We're running out of air, ain't seen the light of day. Living life scared, so I hide myself away. Chaos all around, be quiet, just be calm. I'm better off alone, like I have been all along.
Creating greatness. One episode at a time.
All right, so let's all go through the beer that Rob has had to drink today.
On September 9th, we surpassed some of the greatest of all time. Tune in to the 500th episode of Your Only Excuse to be home on a Saturday night. CB Radio, September 9th, midnight-ish Eastern Time only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I know I have a problem and I'm willing to accept it.
Hi, this is Pete Gass of the Mean Street Posse and author of my new book, Looking at the Light, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBook.com because they're awesome. And well, if you're just tuning in, you missed the news, you missed the Roman Reigns discussion, but you are just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting no more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So Power Rangers, the verified account, tweets, "We knew WWE Rollins had superhuman ranger powers," and it shows a picture of Seth Rollins in his Power Ranger-esque gear over the years, which is hilarious. To which Seth Rollins replies, "Lord Zedd doesn't stand a chance." And then Andrew also replies, this explains why Seth Rollins is so good at flips. No dude, CrossFit. Always the CrossFit. Rob Schomburger, "The official reveal of my WWE Rollins mural for the WWE Games at the SummerSlam kickoff event. My biggest painting ever. Seriously, it's cool as hell. Congratulations, Rob." Seth Rollins replies, "Everyone else is so much better at making me look more badass than I am." Seth, you nerd. You nerd.
Nerd.
Nerd! Kevin Owens tweets out on the fateful night of August 26th, "Hey, look, I made a better decision than Enzo did today." And it's a picture of house smoked split chicken breast for $6.94. And Haas replies, "I find it odd that it says 0 grams of sugar, but the ingredients in the sugar is in it twice." Kevin Owens replies, "Ask Corbin if it was any good. It was his chicken. I just asked to use it to blast Enzo." Blast. Adam Cole.
Baby.
Baby. "Making enemies is all part of making history. Hashtag Adam Cole, baby." To which Kevin Owens goes, "It took you 2 days to come up with that?" His wrestling husband is back, y'all. He's very excited.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And finally, Bill tweets, "Byron Saxton, you need to punch Kevin Owens right in the mouth. If that was me, the way he talks to you, lights out for KO. Kevin responds, "Haha, right, more like you'd ask me to autograph and take a blurry selfie with me because your hand wouldn't stop shaking. Kissy faces." And that's all I have.
Vince McMahon Googling, "Is G1 Climax a Japanese sex fetish thing?"
Maybe.
Inspirational quotes, "A lot, checkmark alive, checkmark blessed, checkmark grateful, Austin Aries, checkmark banana."
Hey!
EC3, "The size of this guy's nipple popping out of his tank top at the gym. Holy smokes." Zack Ryder replied, "I'm in bed, not the gym." WWE tweeted, "Southpaw Region Wrestling is back and all roads lead to showdown at the swamp." Bacon, "Did all of you know that I was the Southpaw Regional Wrestling Tag Team Champion in 1986 thanks to an E. coli outbreak?" Now we do.
Thanks, Bacon.
WWE dad jokes. Did you know?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, I only have one. Did you know that if the moon passes too close to the sun, it'll look like an NXT wrestler? You'll be an Ember Moon. Eclipse jokes, because we didn't do one last week. Do tweets last week.
God.
Keep it 5-star. Braun Strowman is legit the best member of the Wyatt family. Then Bray, then Harper, then Sister Abigail. Then The Mask. Then Rowan. Brian Fritz, "It's official, John Jones is a dummy. So much for that redemption story, hashtag UFC. John Jones. That's what I've been hearing from the 500 people that tweeted me in the last 2 minutes."
Poor John Jones.
Poor at John Jones. That's not John Bones Jones Twitter. He just got all the tweets that night. By the way, I think UFC, was it EA or someone brought him over somewhere for something recently. It may have been the UFC. They brought him into the town and showed him the whole experience. Because, you know, John Jones. WWE Murphy, the hashtag eater of apples, run. And it's Murphy's and Alexa Bliss's pig. I forget the name of the pig.
Larry Steve.
Larry Steve. So it's a picture of Larry Steve and the lantern.
Yes, I saw that.
Steve Corino, watching NXT TV a little late tonight, really enjoyed Peyton Royce versus Sarah Logan. And Trent Seven made me smile. Makes me smile. Hashtag we are NXT. Peyton Royce responded, thanks. I enjoyed watching myself too. Tommaso Ciampa.
Oh my god, Tommaso.
I will be doing a rare Q&A tonight before NXT. Ask anything using the hashtag AskCiampa. Or use hashtag JohnnySuckbag for priority reasons. Priority responses. He replied, oh, I totally wasn't serious. Ask your questions to someone who gives a damn. Love the greatest, Blackheart. WWE breaking news. WWE NXT breaking news. Oscar relinquishes title. Vacant. I'm back. Hashtag the streak has officially been broken. Error of vacancy. James Ellsworth. The notorious MMA, which is Connor, beating Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match would be like me beating King James in a dunking contest. Which I totally could. No, you couldn't.
No.
Quizzically baffled by a man. Easy three. Quizzically baffled by a man who goes underneath slash through short leg instead of over the top through zipper to pee. WWE creative is quizzically baffled by a man. Baffled by a man monitoring other man while they pee. Easy three replied. Walking into a public restroom right into seeing a double pull his dick from his short legs is pretty hard to miss.
I think, is that it? Are you done? Are you good? Maybe? Maybe not? I don't know! Anyway, alright, I'm going to assume he's done, and we're going to move on, because reasons. So, SmackDown Rundown? Throwdown? Rundown. Maybe? Maybe not? He's left me. He's left me hanging, y'all. I'm here by myself. I have no intro music, I have no nothing. So, anyway, we're just going to sit here and awkwardly stall for a second while I live Google things on the air because, you know, not prepared for this at all. Yay, professionalism. Yay, 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 yay. As I Google the SmackDown Live results. Okay, all right, so I'm not going to do these in order because I do want to talk about this because I want to discuss Dolph Ziggler for a second. Dolph, honey, what the hell? Okay, what the hell? Is his thing just, like, being bitter now? Is that just it? Like, you know, he never really got the shot, in quotations, so now he's pissed at everybody that's, like, getting the shot? I mean, I don't know. I just, he's trying, and bless him for trying, but honestly, no. This is a no. This is no. Because he's been gone for weeks, and this is how he makes his return. He's just, like, whining into a microphone about, you know, I don't even know what. But he's being all bitter and stuff. It's like, no, just take that crap and get off my TV with it.
Who's being all bitter and stuff?
Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, yeah.
I moved on to SmackDown because I didn't have a bumper, and I didn't know if you were done. So, are you done?
No, I got more tweets.
Oh, sorry. Okay, mini ran over. Proceed.
Anyway, Finn Balor, McGregor, 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 McGregor. Kurt Hawkins. I think he'd have a better chance if he wore the demon paint tonight. That's probably a true statement. WWE Creative. How is Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor not a Punjabi prison? Money left on the table, guys. Hashtag kayfabe.
Randy. Oh, wait, that wasn't Randy, was it? Or was it?
Then no one would be able to see the fight because the view would be obstructed by two walls of bamboo. Duh. Randy Orton.
There's Randy.
Yeah.
And he follows that Twitter, y'all.
He does. He really, really does. But yeah, that we'll cut those tweets there because we've got to get into SmackDown. Ready to do a SmackDown?
Ready to do a SmackDown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown. Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So what did you cover already?
I ranted on Dolph Ziggler.
Okay, good. I agree with every point you just made about Dolph Ziggler.
I just don't get it. I don't.
I don't get Dolph Ziggler either. I really, really don't. It's sort of a thing. But he's going to probably feud with Bobby Roode, which is going to not be good. Ziggler's going to become the new Kane. This is the best way to put it.
Just without the fire?
Just without the fire and more super kicks. All right, let's get into other things. So Kevin Owens was a thing. Kevin Owens was not happy that Shane McMahon was referee. So he came out, he complained about it. Shane McMahon explained his point of view. And then Kevin went to do commentary. And Kevin did commentary for the Aiden English Sami Zayn match. And partway through, he's like, I'm going to be the ref now. So He basically forces the referee to take off his referee shirt. He puts it on. He becomes the referee. Destroys Sami Zayn. And Aiden English supposedly got the win, which Shane McMahon would later then overturn. But Kevin Owens was trying to make a point that he's referee and he can do what Shane does.
I kind of really, really was happy with this, just the way that Kevin acted, because it was perfect. Mm-hmm. It was so perfect. He's like, oh, so I can just grab a ref shirt and become a referee? Okay. And he just grabs the ref and strips the ref shirt off, and he's just standing there like, what? Right. Like, he was so confused. It was adorable.
Can we have a promo, though, where Jinder Mahal does not lose his voice?
I think that's his actual voice.
Stay off the drugs, man. Because your promos are awful. The whole opening segment was just a really long drawn out. The Singh brothers are going to suck up to Shinsuke and almost kiss his feet.
Yeah, there was some kinky stuff going on at the beginning of SmackDown. Not going to lie. There's some really kinky stuff going on.
And then the main event, it was Jinder and Rusev versus Randy and Nakamura. Randy and Nakamura got the win. Afterwards, Randy hit the RKO out of nowhere on Shinsuke, who sold it well. It wasn't what it was. Couple things that we need to address. Number one, Tamina Crush?
They're trying? I mean, they had Tamina come out and beat a jobber. They're trying to build her up. They're basically replacing Rusev with Tamina and sending Lana back to her crush gimmick because at this point I think they've given up on her as a wrestler.
I don't know, but it was sort of a thing and it wasn't. Tamina's not as good as Rusev. Just put Lana and Rusev back together.
I mean, I appreciate that they're trying to do something with Tamina and push Tamina because God knows she deserves it after all the crap she's endured, but you know, it's just, I'm not sure this is it, but they're trying, so yay.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Okay, I have concerns about what we're about to talk about.
Go for it.
So, we're talking about the Fashion Police. They made their premiere. They find secret messages with a black light.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, things glow under black lights. And they were very sloppily handwritten. I had concerns. I had a lot of concerns.
And did you notice that Fandango's shirt was being seen by the black light, but Tyler's wasn't?
Yes.
But then, there's this.
I know what this is.
What's that?
It's a title.
No, that's a belt.
Oh, yeah, belt. Grappling belt, tranquilizing belt.
No, just hold your pants up.
What about those things?
Nice little shot. Very nice little shot. Thanks, guys. But no, back to the concerns.
Go ahead.
Did you have the same thoughts I did?
Yeah.
Is everybody going with me on this little trip?
Yes.
I saw that, and I just had to sit here for a minute, and I'm like, oh God.
That was the thing.
That was a thing that happened. It's just like, this is awkward. This is so awkward. Like, you couldn't get it. I know it's ink. Like, it's glow-in-the-dark ink. But the way that it looked was just these really sloppily drawn, hand-drawn arrows. And you're just like, oh my God, what was somebody doing when they did this? Again, concerns.
They had something on their brain.
Somebody was clearly having a good time while they were doing this. Clearly.
Yeah, next week on SmackDown, we will have, what is it? Natalya versus Carmella?
Think so, yeah.
And then the week after, it's Naomi versus Natalya for the SmackDown Women's title.
Yay.
Overall, solid show.
Very solid show. I mean, it's a good follow-up to SummerSlam.
Oh, so when mentioned, we talked about Xavier Woods earlier in the Blame Brant.
Mm-hmm.
He came out wearing a sign that said, it's sore.
Bless him.
But that was SmackDown.
NXT?
Time for the NXT Rundown.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So the main focus of the show, the big money matchup on this show was Bobby Roode versus Roderick Strong.
And damn, was it good!
Really good match. Roddy got the win. But that was the big money match on the show. Now, things that happened throughout the show. They're building up this strong faction of Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole. Show opened with a breaking news footage from earlier in the evening where Sanity was attacked in the parking lot. You don't see who attacked them, but you see them all laid out, and you see the guys running away.
I really like that. I love what they're doing with Adam Cole and Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. I really, really, really am enjoying that. It's a good way to bring them in. It's making them look badass. And then whoever laid out Sanity, quality work. Quality work, especially with, like, just all of them laying around the card, including the security guards. that was nicely shot.
It was shot very well, yes.
Although I couldn't figure out who was in the driver's seat. Was it Nikki or was it Eric?
I couldn't tell.
I think it was Nikki, but I'm not sure.
We had the NXT champion, Drew McIntyre. He got a promo talking about, you know, this is his NXT, this is NXT, and everything like this, and everything he's worked for. He then challenged the locker room, including those three men we just mentioned. Roderick Strong came out and said he wants a title shot, which he'll get if, you know, after he gets through done with Bobby Roode, which we mentioned earlier. Solid stuff.
Very solid stuff.
Peyton Royce beat Ruby Riott in a solid match.
Ruby's growing her hair out and I like it.
We heard the name of Billy Kay's finisher, Shades of Kay.
Solid.
Didn't know it had a name, but it has a name now.
It does have a name, and I like it. I like it a lot.
The Heavy Machinery beat two dudes. Otis is awesome.
Otis is amazing.
If you gotta go to the NXT Twitter and just watch the Otis stuff. It's just awesome.
Dude, did you see him lift like that 775 pounds?
Yeah.
Oh my god, he's a beast!
He wasn't feeling 800 today, though.
He wasn't feeling 800 today?
No, he wasn't.
But I can understand why. That's a lot of weight.
It is a lot of weight.
But yes, welcome back, Heavy Machinery. You have been missed. Especially you, Otis.
And next week will be Cassius Ohno, who asked Regal for a fight with Hideo, and it'll be no DQ next week. Should be fun.
Yay.
And we mentioned the Roderick Strong Bobby Roode matchup. Afterwards, Drew McIntyre came out. He was going to go, you know, do a stare down with Roderick Strong, but he got attacked by the three men, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish. They laid out Drew McIntyre to close out the show. I like that this whole, that they were yelling, this is our NXT.
I liked that. I have a problem with Adam Cole and Drew McIntyre feuding. It is not because I feel like it's going to be bad. It's just because Drew McIntyre and Adam Cole could be brothers. Because they look so much alike. It's just, it feels slightly awkward to have them feuding with each other. Because it's like Adam Cole essentially attacked himself. Just a larger, more stacked version of himself.
Larger, more stacked version of himself, yeah.
So it's just like, you know, it's just slightly awkward with the two of them feuding right off the bat. But otherwise, I love the hell out of this. And yes, next week, I think we get the Brits again? Or are they on the last one?
They're on a couple episodes. I'm not actually sure which episodes in particular. But there are upcoming episodes.
Stand by for me to scream about my Brits. Very excited about this.
That'll be a thing coming up here in the upcoming weeks.
You have something to look forward to, y'all. But I think that does it for us. What do you think?
Yeah, that'll do it for us.
All right, well, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Episode 499 of CB Radio this Saturday, midnight-ish. We're doing the Greater Than Great Debate, sports movies. It's midnight-ish, CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, it's Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. At WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, 11:15 p.m. Eastern. We're starting a little early, 11:15. Probably new start time since there's no Talking Smack. So we'll probably do 11:15 p.m. Eastern. It's the CB Radio Challenge on WTR Sims. The idea of the show will be, can the champion survive the night with the CB Radio title? And anyone who's ever been a host of CB Radio can get a title shot this Tuesday night on WTR Sims. The current champion is the intern who dethroned Tim for the title.
Oh, Brent beat Tim?
Yeah.
Congratulations, Brent. Does that mean the thing you and I talked about happened?
No, we haven't got that far yet.
Okay. All right.
One day. Maybe in 18.
Okay.
Maybe it may look better in 18.
We have plans, y'all.
We have plans.
We have plans.
But WTRSM, Tuesday night, twitch.tv/rockradioshow. You know the thing. Don't even start. Anyway, we'll be next Thursday night for another edition of Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. The Rack Extra will be available on Thursday afternoon because it'll be Total Bellas. We're going to have a special edition of the Rack Extra Dragon Con coming either next week or the week after, schedule depending. Rock Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/rockradioshow, as we will have WW2K17 content, WTR Sims content. We also have the Madden Long Shot series that'll be available as the days go on. There's about 3 episodes up now. There's about 4 more already ready to be uploaded. So check out Daily, youtube.com/MacGregorShow. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Anywhere on the internet, it's Rack Radio Show. At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
You can follow me on Twitter, at LinsWard, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you'd like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the very fine sponsors, Gerwick.net, Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211, and FightBook.com. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye. I'm taking back what's mine. I ain't giving in to what they tell me. Nah, I ain't listening. Can't deny I was made for this. Shove it back in the faces you say I'd miss. I'm taking back what's mine. I ain't giving in to what they tell me. Nah, I ain't listening. Can't deny I was made for this. Shove it back in the faces you say I'd miss. WildTalkRadio.com.